You are listening to WCJV Digital Broadcasting, Youngstown, New York.
The Paranormal News Insider from ParanewsInsider.com. Produced by WCJV Digital Broadcasting, Youngstown, New York.
Welcome to the Paranormal News Insider for the week of June 14th. 2016 and episode number 269, and this is your host, Dr. Brian D. Parsons. This week's news includes the Loch Ness Monster returns home, a new hobbit species discovered, former NASA employee sheds the truth, a familiar Long Island home for sale, and we'll talk about top scary movies based on true events. And I'll also be talking about that scary video with the glowing red mass over the United States that's been floating all over the place, especially on Facebook. And speaking of book, we'll have the book of the week as well. And we'll see what else happens this week and what other kind of trouble I can stir up. And speaking of trouble, sadly, you know, I don't really talk current events too much on the Paranormal News Insider. I just usually kind of glaze right into what I'm doing. But I was on a show Sunday night, which I'll talk about here in a second. And, you know, we spent a moment talking about the incidents in Orlando. So I really have to address that a little bit. And it's a sad thing that happened. And, you know, you really can't wrap your mind around those kind of things when they happen. And one of the things that kind of upset me after getting over, you know, this person mindlessly killing all these people is how other people reacted to this and how people went to social media and released their anger, their frustration, and their contempt for other people. And it's just shocking how human nature acts in when these things happen, our reaction to such events. And that's kind of the definition of terrorism. Terrorism is to strike fear in those who these things affect. And that's exactly how people react. They react with anger, frustration, contempt, and a lot of fear. It's hidden fear. It's subdued. But that's really where it's coming from. And us lashing out to certain groups of people for no apparent reason is really counterproductive. It really doesn't solve anything. And perpetuating fear of losing guns and losing rights and all these things, it's really unnecessary. When there are people grieving and there are people that are trying to pick up the pieces of their lives, and this thing is still, you know, unfolding as we speak, or as I speak, unless you're talking, I don't know. But yeah, that's really all I have to say on that. I'll just let that go where it's at. And remember, keep your flags at half staff until Thursday at sundown if you have one, even though Flag Day was yesterday. So what is going on here? Chum Bucket Studios. This week's Paranormal News Insider is brought to you by Chum Bucket Studios. Chum Bucket Studios offers professional, high-quality digital products from prints to movies. Not that kind of prints. Prints. Printing, signs, videos, video editing, even website graphics, and much more. It all begins with a little imagination. Check them out today at chumbucketstudios.com. Chum Bucket Studios recently helped me out with a new logo for my new cryptozoology group, Ohio Cryptid. And Jay, who runs Chum Bucket Studios, was a really great communicator. He listened to my input and delivered a quality product in a timely manner. And I'm a control freak, and I like to control. When I do websites and things, I'm in complete control of these things. And all of my graphics I've designed myself. Yeah, some of them aren't all that great, and that's why I reached out to Jay and Chum Bucket Studios to see if I could get something a little bit better than what I do, and he came through. So Maybe one day he'll redesign my Paranormal News Insider logo. Who knows? Again, chumbucketstudios.com. And I mentioned briefly, this Sunday I was on a radio show. It was delayed from the week prior, and I was on Squatch Detective Radio last Sunday with host Steve Coles. And appreciate those people from WCJV Digital Broadcasting that were in attendance in the house. That's a lot of fun to see familiar faces in the chat rooms. I had a little difficulty getting in the chat room. I had to open the old Windows Explorer to get in there. But anyway, a lot of fun on that show, and hopefully I'll be back soon. Soon. A lot of shows say that, hey, we'd love to have you back. Then, you know, you never hear from them again. But Steve's a stand-up guy. He's a great guy. Loved his book, which was the book of the week here a couple of weeks ago. Right? Yeah. What Would Sasquatch Do? Great book. And again, thanks to Steve Coles for having me on Squatch Detective Radio. And I'll also be at the Kecksburg UFO Festival. That's coming up July 29th through the 31st. I won't be speaking, but I'll be there nonetheless. I'll have a little table there selling some books. I've always wanted to go there. It's on my bucket list. I don't know if it's really called a bucket list. Just a list of things I want to do. You don't know when you're going to die, so it's kind of pointless to have a bucket list before you kick the bucket. Just make a list of stuff you want to do. We'll get all technical. So Kecksburg UFO Festival at the end of July. And I'll also be at the 4th Annual Strange Encounters of Pennsylvania event on August 20th in Johnstown, Pennsylvania. I spend a lot of time in PA, apparently, even though I'm from Ohio. I don't know what that is, but what's up with that. But anyway, I have a lot of good friends out there, good investigators, great researchers, including these guys. John Ventry, Stan Gordon will be in attendance speaking at that event, and also some local speakers. They're going to be talking about strange weather and other strange things in Pennsylvania. I'm going to fit right in. I'm going to fit right in at that event. The event is free to the public, but bring some donations. That would be very welcomed. And for more information on those events, as well as upcoming events, paranormal events, UFO events, cryptozoology events, you name it. For more information, check out paranewsinsider.com and click on the events tab at the top. Now, one new thing that I stayed up late last night doing, I decided to try something new here on the show, a little new segment, and something else that I really don't have time for. It's called the Paranormal Poll. And the Paranormal Poll is where I throw a subject out there and allow people to vote on it, as well as share their comments about it. Now, I was going to do it as a weekly segment, but I think I'm just going to let it sit there until I get a lot of votes and get a lot of comments. It's not a race. I don't want people just running over there and clicking on it and putting their two cents in there. I want you to think about it. Really and truly think about it. It's important. And you may have seen a few attempts over the last few weeks. I threw one up on Twitter. I didn't throw up on Twitter. I threw a poll up on Twitter to see how people would react to it. I think Frank voted on it. That's probably about it. But it was only on for 24 hours. I was just kind of seeing how that worked. Not impressed with Twitter. I forget where else I did one. You used to be able to do them on Facebook. I don't know what happened with that. But so I decided to put it on a website. And I'll share that in the chat room here in a second. And tomorrow I'll be putting that out to all the social media. My goal with this is to allow the listeners to have a voice. The show has always been about the listeners, and I think I've kind of gotten away from that a little bit with having a one-hour show, from going from a segment to a one-hour show, and not really just feel a little disconnected with the people and the listeners a little bit. And I want to take these subjects and eventually blog about them using my thoughts and opinions as well as the opinions of you guys, the listeners. With this, you can vote, and then you can leave comments on the same page. So I'll be using those comments as references, essentially. So whatever you write, if you're willing to have it put on there, I'm going to use it as a reference for a blog. Maybe. I don't know if all of these topics I'll blog about. don't really have a whole lot of free time. And I'm usually a middle of the road kind of guy. I don't like extremes. Usually when you think in extremes, it's usually wrong. The truth is always somewhere in the middle. So yeah, I'll be looking at each angle, each side. And to be a good researcher and to really expand your knowledge, you really have to explore both sides of things, both sides of any kind of subject, any kind of topic at all. Now, we always have our own opinions. We have our ways that we like to look at things. But to explore all angles will make you a better researcher, make you a better person, really, too, because you'll understand the other arguments if you understand the topic. So at times, though, there's going to be research that goes into these topics, and I might have to sway one way or the other based on this research. And with that, the first paranormal poll is going to be about, is paranormal unity possible? Wow, I just heard like 10 people groan. Yeah, it's a very touchy subject to some people. Some people are very animate about it, one direction or another. And I know it's a highly debated topic. That's why I chose it. And I published this poll on the Paranormal News Insider website. You can find a link on the front page. I don't have a permanent link to it because I don't know how long I'm going to be doing this. If it's going to stick, I don't know. And like I said, I'll be pushing this out to social media probably tomorrow, maybe tonight. I don't know. Depends on how late I stay up. And, you know, when I get to talking about this a little bit more, we'll kind of talk about it in the chat room a little bit too. I'll set some time aside in a couple of weeks. Depends on how this goes over. And again, I'm not asking for people to rush out there and hastily vote. Think about it. You're only going to get one chance to vote and one chance to comment. So make it count. And again, how often I do these polls depends on how many votes and input I receive. I'm fine with leaving it up for a month, 3 weeks, whatever it takes to get that, to get some traction on that. So it's going to be up there for a little while. I'm not just going to take it down after a couple of days, but that's it. So I'll throw that in the chat room. It's paranewsinsider.com/vote.html. And you can check that out. I mean, come on. Everybody has an opinion, right? All right. In cryptid news, Tony Bly of Dublin, Ireland, was at Loch Ness when he got the sight of a lifetime. He saw five humps moving in the water, and he quickly pulled out his cell phone to shoot video. Bly, an engineer, believed that what he captured was more than likely the movement of the famous Loch Ness monster. However, Loch Ness project expert Adrian Shrine checked out the video and came to his own conclusion, where he said, quote, "It is a particularly good example of the effect that a reasonably high boat wake can make. It shows how powerful this illusion could be. It produces a line of very solid-looking humps." Unquote. Sounds like a song I heard once. Apparently, Bly reluctantly agreed that what he saw was more than likely a wake, as he stated there had been a boat in the area that was about 400 yards away that was not included in his 19-second video. If you've not seen the video, you haven't seen it, so you can't really comment on that, right? You can't. You don't have an opinion. But I'll throw that in the chat room there. You can see it. I was in a lake that looked a little bit like that today. Not Loch Ness, but I went kayaking today. So I'm a little, maybe my brain is probably a little fried today from being out in the sun. But I saw some wake as well, and I left because I already knew I was going to talk about the story. I saw some submerged branches and submerged logs that were poking out of the water that looked like Nessie. I took some pictures. So it's interesting. It's fun to do. And let's see what else is going on. Bones. Let's talk some bones. Back in 2004, bones were found of a small species of hominids on the island of Flores in Indonesia that went on to be called Homo floresiensis, dubbed the Hobbit. This species of short people is thought to have gone extinct about 50,000 years ago. A few of the biggest question marks of that find is, where do these people come from? Who did they evolve from? Or was this just a fluke of nature? Well, some of this has already been answered, and more stuff has been answered by new finds in Flores of a jawbone and several teeth thought to be from one adult and two children. These fossils predate any finds of these short people, these hobbits, and are considered to be around 700,000 years old. Homo floresiensis stood about 3 feet 6 inches tall, and the believed reason for the short stature is from what is known as Foster's rule. This rule states that the member of a species gets smaller or bigger based on the resources available in the environment, not so much the size of the environment, but again, the resources available. But living on a small island or a small area such as an island will obviously provide a little less resources and will eventually produce smaller versions of species than ones that exist elsewhere. Granted, this also depends on food, cover, and other resources, as well as the competition for said resources. The process over time is known as insular dwarfism and suggests that these Flores natives were once a larger species. The big question is, how did they get to the island? Maybe they kayak there. Who knows? Stone tools have previously been found that date back to nearly a million years ago, which further deepens the mystery. These latest findings have been published in the journal Science, and a summary can be found in the Nature Journal of Science. It's quite the read. Lots of technical mumbo-jumbo. It's pretty cool. I mean, it is a cool story. It should be a front page news. I mean, we're finding new versions of old people. These are people. These are our cousins. Whatever, you know, maybe you don't believe that. I don't know. Some people believe certain things. Some people believe other things. But the fact is, they found some bones. And to me, that's important. In UFO news, usually former NASA employees tell dirty little secrets about knowledge about UFOs or other information that is supposedly or purportedly classified or involves conspiracies. Well, former NASA employee James Oberg, who worked with NASA from 1975 to 1997 at Johnson Space Center and handled orbital rendezvous techniques for several missions, recently spilled his own dirty little secret. Oberg stated that the UFOs seen in numerous videos are UFOs, as in unidentified flying objects. No mystery there, right? But wait a second. They're not quite what you think. They're actually what he refers to as space dandruff. That's gross. That's right, space dandruff. Oberg states, quote, "The first principle of space travel is that objects coming off a vehicle tend to fly along with it," unquote. So the flashing images we see of past space shuttle missions and the International Space Station are merely pieces and parts that are free-floating in space that were shed from those and other craft that have made their way into space. Ice crystals, insulation, debris, and other miscellaneous pieces of space junk also pick up sunlight as well as shadows that are created from the crafts and will then spin, giving them their flashing appearance. And this is something I've been saying for years. I've seen these on YouTube. I've seen them on TV. And I'm just like, come on. You really think that's a UFO? It's just a tumbling piece of junk. And yes, sometimes they do shift. They go from one direction to the other. But a lot of that is even illusions, believe it or not. And objects don't just continue in a straight line forever. If they do encounter something else, they will move into another direction. You don't always see that. You know, it's not like the movies where you see a big explosion when two things hit each other. It doesn't really happen in space. Oberg also stated that he's not saying that alien-based UFOs do not exist, but what he has seen time and again in videos is explainable, and our own perspective is getting in the way. He also feels that NASA and the U.S. government are not hiding anything about UFOs. No disclosure. Speaking of disclosure, I've got full disclosure here about all these stories, about everything going on with the Paranormal News Insider. All you got to do is find me on Facebook, Twitter, Google+, you name it. I'm out there. You have to nowadays. If you're on the radio, if you're doing any kind of show, if you're not on social media, It's a necessary evil. You got to be there. So Facebook, facebook.com/ParaNewsInsider, Twitter at ParaNewsInsider, and Google Plus at +ParaNewsInsider. I'm there, folks. You just got to look for me. And the show, if you're listening live, thank you very much. I appreciate that. Everyone in the chat room. And if you're not listening live, you're listening on Memorex later. I don't know what you're listening to. I've done my best to try to spread that out. Now, directly after the show, my producer, Cindy, puts this show up on Mixcloud right away. It's quicker than I can get around to uploading it to my Podbean site, which Podbean is my official home of the Paranormal News Insider, but she does a quicker job of getting it out there. So a lot of times I just post that and go to bed, since I have to get up to work at like 4 a.m. and I'll take care of that the following day, putting it up on Podbean. From Podbean, it goes to Stitcher, Spreaker, good grief, who else? All over the place. It's through Apple stuff too. You can Podbean itself. Good grief! You can listen to it online. You can get it on Google Play or the App Store, and it's also on iTunes. So you can plenty of different ways to listen to the show live or as a podcast. So ghost news, interesting news. I'm gonna buy this house. I think I'm gonna move to Amityville. A 5-bedroom, 4-bathroom home is for sale in a quaint village on Long Island, New York. The asking price has been dropped to a cool $850,000. Even though it is a waterfront property, has a boathouse as well as a slip. Huh. That's a deal. Well, sadly, the home was also involved in a series of grisly murders back in 1974. Ronald DeFeo Jr. shot and killed his parents and 4 siblings in the house after moving into the home just 28 days prior. Now, if the story sounds a bit familiar, it is because the story spawned a book and a few movies that used the village name in the title. Yes, it is the home based on the Amityville Horror. The home is currently listed on Zillow and can be yours today. So actually, I'm going to throw that Zillow ad there in the chat room. You guys can check it out. It doesn't look the same. It looks a little different than what it used to or what it was in the movie, and there's a reason for that. We'll talk about that a little later. The address was changed years ago from 112 Ocean Avenue to 108 Ocean Avenue in an unsuccessful attempt to keep gawkers at bay who drove down the road daily. They still do, especially now that it's on the market. However, if you plan on buying the home, don't count on your own paranormal experiences. Uh-oh, what does that mean? I thought it was haunted. Real estate broker Jerry O'Neill stated that he knows the home very well and has never heard of any homeowner having any issues since George and Kathy Lutz's story back in 1975. O'Neill stated, quote, "A friend of mine from high school, his family owned it. I spent a lot of time in this house as a kid. It's a beautiful home." Local people refer to the story not as the Amityville Horror, but as the Amityville Hoax. The only horror about this house is that a family was murdered, unquote. Well, the home has had at least 3 previous owners since 1975, and none have ever reported anything remotely paranormal related. Believe it or not, something that many people don't realize is that the house that's currently there, 108 Ocean Avenue, is not the house used in the film, despite it looking exactly the same. The home used in the original movie was in New Jersey and was sold back in 2012 for $955,000. And that home was actually moved. Since the filming of the movie, it actually moved down the street. That had to be a sight to see. And when they filmed the movie, they actually built kind of a set over this house. So you remember those windows that look like eyes? Well, they built that. And this house is similarly shaped, at least it was. But they built kind of a frame over this house in order to film the movie. And speaking of movie, got a story about movies. Don't really normally cover movies. I almost covered the story about there's a story about superpowers and which super character or super which comic book character had the truest, is that a word, truest, the most ability to survive, or to his the powers, if they were real, to survive. I didn't cover the story, but Superman won, and Batman finished in last. Yeah, sorry, dude. Not like the movie. Not like the movie. Well, you're listening to WCJV Digital Broadcasting from Youngstown, New York, emanating live at WCJVradio.com. And you're listening to the Paranormal News Insider. If there was any question in your mind who this person is rambling, this is Dr. Brian D. Parsons. And you're in the studio with me. So, other news, we're going to talk movies here real quick. The Week in Weird news site has released a story titled From the Conjuring to Amityville, the top five scariest horror movies based on real paranormal events. Huh. Their list includes many top scary movie titles that are said to be based on true events. Based on true events. Something to remember when you see this flash on a movie screen. This does not mean that the events are portrayed exactly how they happened. In many cases, what you see is far less than the truth and more Hollywood than reality. The only things that are tied to real stories typically are names, locations, and some basic events. The rest is the work of writers and producers. Based on real events also does not mean that what is said to have happened actually took place. Anyway, on to the list. One of these was The Exorcist from 1973. This was the true story based on the exorcism of Roland Doe, actually historically only known as R, in a case from Cottage City, Maryland in the late 1940s. The second up is the 1979 classic Amityville Horror, which was about the Lutz family in a home on Long Island after the 1974 Ronald DeFeo murders, as I previously mentioned. And next up is the Mothman Prophecies, a 2002 movie starring Richard Gere based on events that took place in Point Pleasant, West Virginia from 1966 to 1967, including the all-too-real collapse of the Silver Bridge on December 15th of 1967. Director Mark Pellington told Entertainment Weekly back in 2002, quote, "It's really very fictionalized. Maybe we should have said, quote, inspired by true events, unquote, rather than, quote, based on true events, unquote." That's a lot of quotes. That's a lot of quotes. "It's really very fictionalized. Maybe we should have said inspired by true events rather than based on true events." That sounds better. Next up is The Entity from 1983. This movie was based on a book that was, again, based on real events, supposedly, that happened to a woman named Doris Blither. Dr. Barry Taff, who was involved with the real case, felt that this was a true poltergeist case and not one of the focus of attack, specifically what was referred to as spectrophilia. And if you don't know what that is, you've probably never seen the movie. And if you don't know what that is and you want to know, either Google it or watch The Entity. And you'll figure it out pretty quick, which was the focus of the book in the movie. Next up is the 1993 UFO movie, Fire in the Sky, that is based on the Travis Walton abduction from 1975. And even though the article is the top five, it did include a bonus movie. I had to go back and count. It's like, wait a minute, this is more than five. The bonus movie was The Conjuring, which they mentioned in the title. The Conjuring was based on the Perrin family and their home, or their farm, I should say, in Harrisville, Rhode Island, with the events occurring from 1970 until they moved out in 1980. And obviously, they've done a sequel to that from the files the Warrens. And, you know, my thought is, hey, what about Close Encounters of the Third Kind? The opening sequence that took place in Muncie, Indiana, is based on the real UFO chase that began in Ravenna, Ohio. So a few weird coincidences about this. I was born in Muncie, Indiana, for starters, which is cool. Every time I see it on the screen, I think that's cool. And Ravenna, Ohio, I was just there today, just kayaking at the West Branch, the reservoir there at West Branch State Park in Ravenna. It was pretty much, I would say, about 2.5-3 miles down the road from where the chase began. It was over 80 miles. It went over the Pennsylvania border. But beyond that, I don't think there was very much in that movie that was real. But, you know, I got to throw my 2 cents in there as well. And I've covered quite a bit about these movies that, again, I'll be sharing during the week. You want to check that top five out. I'm going to pop that in the chat room very fast. And what is going on now? Right, moving right along through this. Show's going by pretty quick. What else do I have here? Oh, yeah. Well, I'm going to talk about that, since I've got some time here. I'm going to talk about that strange video that's been floating all over Facebook. I was going to leave it alone, but I've seen it pop up quite a bit. And it's actually a television show from Discovery. I think it's Discovery Go. Science Channel also covered this. Actually, I think it's on Science Channel, but Discovery, well, it's the parent company, Discovery. The title of this thing is Strange Force Sweeps Over North America. You've seen this picture, or seen this video, rather. It's the picture of the United States. It's glowing. It's basked in a red glow. And it's like 2 minutes and 48 seconds. It's really kind of weird when they're just speculating about this thing. And then all of a sudden, just when you really get into it, it ends. And I was a little annoyed by that. I saw it. A friend of mine at work actually had mentioned it, asked me if I knew anything about it. And I'd seen it pop up a few times on Facebook. So I thought, you know what? I better do some research. So I did some research real quick. And I found some answers. But then I found the TV show. And I watched it last night just so I could really understand what they were talking about and see if my answer that I came up with was correct. I was pretty close. This is pretty close. I had the same idea, actually, but theirs a little bit more fine-tuned than my idea. The Global Ozone Monitoring Experiment Satellite. It's a lot of words for the word GOME, G-O-M-E. Everything's an acronym nowadays, it seems like. GOME measures various aspects of the Earth's atmospheric ozone layer, trace gases, and ultraviolet radiation. So what is this strange red pulsating force that is overtaking the United States? Well, during the 2 minute 40 whatever second thing, they do mention, is it a massive forest fire? And they throw out some other things. I can't remember off the top of my head what they were talking about. Locusts, I don't know, cicadas, whatever they said was responsible for this force. But before the answer is given, the video stops. And I think a lot of people were, if they didn't see the show, they were thinking that maybe there's no answer. Or maybe this is just some mystery that's left unsolved or whatever. So I watched this episode of What on Earth last night to find the answer. And the show is essentially a bunch of stories crammed into a 43-minute show. I've seen the commercial for it, but I've never watched it. And it's kind of interesting. Each segment builds as some major mystery. And then they get all these experts that come on and talk about it, and they throw stuff against the wall. Each person just kind of giving a guess as, you know, to the potential cause. And once the real cause is given, it seems rather kind of silly to have this back, you know, this buildup, you know, backing everything up. And then it goes to commercial, comes back, and it's kind of a letdown. And the same holds true for this glowing blob over the United States. It turns out that this is all because of corn. What we're seeing here is over 100 million acres of corn giving off what is described as invisible light that is generated during the process of photosynthesis of the corn crop. It is called invisible since it's, well, not visible to the human eyes, but the satellite's instruments highlight these environmental reactions. To demonstrate this, a scientist walks through a cornfield with a portable spectrometer and demonstrates the same readings as shown by the satellite. Well, obviously, the satellite picks up a larger area, and this culmination of invisible light creates this glowing mass of chemicals released. Now, before you freak out and you get your bug-out bag ready or whatever is going on, no alarm is necessary. This is normal production, and is actually it's actually producing a ton of oxygen. Well, probably not a ton, but maybe even more than that. As it said during the show, that this area represented on the map at its peak gives off 40% more oxygen than the Amazon rainforest. I don't know how they measured that, but it's a cool, trivial question nonetheless. And, you know, anytime they throw a percentage out there, it's got to be real, right? Certainly. So that's all I have for the news. Wow, that was fast. Still have some time left over here, but I still have to get to the book of the week. The book of the week is a book that I've kind of, I don't know, I've kind of kicked to the curb a couple of times. I had some other books. I got some books earlier this year, and I wanted to cover those first. And then Steve Cole's book, I wanted to cover that because I was going to be on a show and because it was a really good book. And this one I had a little trouble actually finding a decent price for. It's rather expensive online. It's out of print. But if you're interested in it, maybe we can make a deal. I can part with this book. Sure. This the book of the week is by a gentleman named Preston E. Dennett, who has written a number of UFO-related books over the years. And this one is UFO Healings, True Accounts of People Healed by Extraterrestrials. Now, usually I have the book of the week is normally related to stories that are in the paranormal news, but not all the time. And this is the case with this one. I didn't really have a UFO healing story that I could find that was current. And so I just kind of, like I said, this book was kind of moved around a few times. It's still in my big pile of books I have next to my computer here. It's growing bigger and bigger each week, it seems like. So I got to start covering some of these books, getting rid of some of the stuff. And it's interesting. That's all I can say about this. It's 105 cases of UFO healings. Never thought that there was that many until I read Preston Dennett getting them all together. It's incredible reading some of these stories. And Preston Dennett has a Bachelor of Arts degree in English from California State University of Northridge. And he began studying UFOs in 1986 when he discovered that his friends and family were having dramatic encounters. Since then, he's interviewed hundreds of UFO witnesses and investigated cases of virtually every type. He is a field investigator with the Mutual UFO Network, also known as MUFON, out of Seguin, Texas. He is also involved in several other organizations, including Citizens Against UFO Secrecy, CAUSE, and Center for Study of Extraterrestrial Research, the UFO Contact Center International. That's UFO CCI. UFO cases have been referred to him by the police, and he's appeared on Encounters, The Hidden Truth, and he's consulted for the TV show Sightings. And he's lectured all over the place. He's published 50 articles since 1986 in various UFO publications. And let's see, this book was published, not sure when. Let's see. Well, 1996, 20-year-old book. Sadly, it's in good condition, so I don't think I've read it that much. I think I've read it twice. 105 cases, and they're all numbered. So you can, at the end of the book, you can go back to the reference section and read through them. And if you go to his website, which I don't remember off the top of my head, if you search for Preston Dennett, you search for this book, there's actually some excerpts that you can read about the book through his website. And it's broken down by various the chapters and kind of by different illnesses, minor illnesses, ailments, eye doctors, liver and kidney cases, lungs, cancer cures, and just kind of broken down that way. And then again, at the end, he brings it all together, the biographical sketch. And so it's a good book, but unfortunately, it's not very cheap online. Normally, I like to cover books that you guys can get. If it's going to add any kind of knowledge to your research, to your what you're looking for out of these kind of books. But the cheapest I can find is $42 on Amazon. Well, the book on the back, it says $13.95. I got mine in, 2001 for $1.99. Well, probably shouldn't have said that because, you know, I'm willing to sell it if you, it's a shame to have to spend $42. But this book is a first of its kind. And supposedly, this is the first book where anyone has brought together all of these healings by extraterrestrials, all of these cases. And I wonder how many there are since this. But it's really miraculous to read through this book. Now, there's not that much in the way of doctors and nurses and true evidence of this stuff actually happening, which is kind of what I wanted to see and I wanted to read. But nonetheless, it's pretty inspiring. It's pretty interesting. And it kind of makes you want to get abducted by aliens. Well, kind of. There is some, I don't want to say gruesome stuff. There's some kind of cringeworthy moments in the book that I kind of had to turn my head and forget that I read. But all in all, it's a good book, and it presents a lot of great information. Again, if you're interested in it, maybe we can work out a deal if you want to buy it from me. We'll see. So don't forget the paranormal poll. I mentioned this at the top of the show. If you don't remember, you didn't hear it, you fast-forwarded through the show. I don't know. Maybe you don't like to hear me talk in the beginning. I don't know. Some people claim they don't. Paranormal poll. You can find that at paranewsinsider.com/vote.html. And it's just kind of my way of getting people involved in the show. I think I've kind of disconnected a little bit from the audience, and I've gotten into routines that I'm not happy about. And this is kind of my way of trying to get you guys involved in this. And I'm going to be talking about a variety of hot topics in the paranormal, not just ghost stuff, but cryptozoology, ufology, and who knows what else. Whatever ails me, whatever bugs me. I see a lot of people complaining about certain things, and I've got a little list going. And the poll, after you take the poll, on the website below that, I've added a comment section. And I want you to comment as to why you voted what you voted. Is paranormal unity a possibility? You may just think yes or no, but what's the reasoning behind that? What do you really feel? Be honest, but again, take your time and think about it before you just go on there and blow up the internet. I'll probably get around, hopefully I'll read these answers during the Paranormal News Insider. And the goal with this is also to, in the future, write a blog about these topics. And, geez, now that I have a little time, I have these questions here, probably 8 to 10 questions that this one guy keeps bugging me, and you know who you are. He asked me, where did I get my start on the radio? Well, long story. I didn't really ever intend to have my own radio show. I had a friend who was involved in radio. You know, when you grow up, everybody wants to be a DJ. And I was no different. I had my little cassette boom box radio, whatever it was. We used to record songs off the radio everybody did that, right? Nowadays, you get thrown in jail for that, I guess. But pretended like I was a DJ. We had some really good radio stations where I lived in Cleveland. WMMS, which is back, the home of the Buzzard. That's still on the air. I was gone for a little while, but the Buzzard is back. So everybody wanted to be a DJ, and I was no different, but I had a phobia against public speaking. But a long time ago, a friend of mine introduced me to radio down in Texas. I can't remember the life of me, the call letters. But it was a little Texas radio station out in the middle of nowhere. And it was funny because we were out late and we shouldn't have been, should have been out where we were. But we ended up coming back to the radio. We stopped in there before we went out to a concert, and he showed me the boards, showed me how to work everything. And then we went to this concert, came back a little early, I guess. And people were listening to the show when he was showing me, demonstrating this. And they started calling in, which made me nervous. And I went on and did a couple of cuts, and it was fun. It was great to actually work in a radio station. That was about 20 years ago. And I can't remember the name of the radio station. I wish I could remember. It was, I want to say Brenham, Texas, somewhere out there. But it's gone now. It's changed letters. I have a picture of that somewhere. But after that, he worked in radio stations all over Texas. He still works for different radio stations. He's worked for the big ones, the small ones, and ones in between. And always wanted to get on radio, but never really had a reason for doing it until I got into the paranormal. But I tried it a long time ago, and I didn't like it. I think it's because my computer was a hunk of crap. So I didn't enjoy it. And I kind of threw it on the back burner. It wasn't something I really cared about. I was focused on books through 2000, whatever, 2002, 2003. Started writing all these books. And was introduced to this radio show, Grand Dark Conspiracy, back in 2008. I was asked to become a guest on the show. And usually before I go on a show, I make sure that the show is something that I'm comfortable with, something that I wanted to, that's going to benefit me and benefit the show. There's no reason on having me on some political show, so I'm not going to talk about all that stuff. But he convinced me that the show is going to be good. And it's like, okay, well, you know, why not? I'll take a chance. And okay, I found it. KMIL. That was a radio station. They've changed. They're now an FM station. They were an AM station. They played oldies, country oldies, and polka stuff. It's pretty cool. Anyway, so I was the first guest in April of 2008. And then I came back in August of 2008. We were talking on the radio, or during the show, I should say, about different things. And I mentioned this on Steve Cole's Squatch Detective radio show. This is why I kind of remembered this. And this poor guy, he's asked me like 100 times to talk about this. That we were talking about the Georgia Bigfoot hoax on the show and talking about paranormal news kind of segment. And we talked about that off the air before. So he talked me into doing it, and the rest is history. Here I am 8 years later, still doing the Paranormal News Insider. Sadly, Dan stopped doing the show last June of last year. June 28th. Actually, I think it was May 28th, I think it was. And he left the show, or left the radio, and I decided that I want to continue to do this. So I brought the show back in September, right here on WCJV, where it's going on, well, not quite a year yet, but it's been a lot of fun. And I like radio, and I'm comfortable with it now, whereas probably wasn't very comfortable with it before, even though I was talking to cows. It doesn't pay well. I know that. And when you're doing it professionally, and I know my friend, he's bounced around from station to station to station to station. But hanging out with him, I got to meet a lot of cool people that were mostly in the Texas country genre of music, but a lot of guys that I really liked and enjoyed to hear and really enjoyed to meet and to talk to, and some people that are fairly popular or fairly famous, I should say. But it's been a lot of fun, and I enjoy doing the show. I enjoy doing this kind of format. It's a little different. I know a lot of people like the interview shows, like the show that's on after me, Frank Lee. I forgot to mention that, didn't I? Yeah, who's he talking to tonight? I forget. Oh, yeah, Blaine Duncan. Tonight, an hour from now, Blaine Duncan will be joining Frank Lee. He is a, Blaine Duncan, that is a documentary filmmaker, paranormal investigator, and researcher. He will be sharing his experiences, research, and upcoming documentary, The Paranormal Diaries, a documentary film. Again, Blaine Duncan, tonight on Paranormalities and Ponderings radio show with host Frank Lee. Can't believe I forgot that. Usually I'm pretty good about that. Well, at least I got the station ID in. Anyway, where was I at besides Lost? Questions. I had some questions. I can't find my sheet. I know that this gentleman, he's asked me like 10 times, and I've emailed him. He's like, that's great, but I want to hear it on the radio. I want to hear you talk about it on the radio. And he also asked me, that's the other side of this question, was how do I get started in radio? And he said, I have the question, and a lot of people just aren't really willing to ask that. And he's really young. And he's started to play around with stuff. He's got better equipment than I do. He's asking me all these technical questions about equipment that I don't even own. So he's on going in the right direction with everything. But he asked me, you know, how you get over being nervous or whatever. I don't even care anymore. I just sit up here and talk to myself. Talking to yourself is a good art form, and you should listen to yourself talk. But how to get on the radio? And I gave him a little bit of advice. I mean, other than doing something like what we're doing here, having a mic attached to your computer and finding a network to talk on, that's all great. But if you want to get on terrestrial radio, it's a little bit more difficult. And like I said, it doesn't pay very well. One thing that was recommended to me a long time ago, and I didn't listen to my friend when he told me this, was go to your local radio station that you want to work at and volunteer. Ask them if you can get coffee. Pay for it out of your pocket. Help. Can I mow the lawn? What can I do? Can I go make copies? Can I go get this? Can I go just volunteer and bug these people? If they won't hire you, just keep volunteering. And eventually, you'll get hired. And being persistent. You just have to be persistent. And then practice as well. Practice talking. Practice speaking. Practice listening to yourself. And practice public speaking. I'm one of those people that I would rather have all my teeth ripped out of my face than actually get up in front of people and speak. High school, I was terrified. College, there was a trick. Used to have to take public speaking or what was the other one? Interpersonal communication. I had to take one of the two. I'd say 95% of people I knew took interpersonal communication. Well, they trick you. At the end of that, you have to stand up and talk in front of people. And I tell you what, this is in college. So I was like, I don't know, 22, 23 years old. I was scared. I was like losing sleep. I didn't want to do it. And finally, when it happened, long story short, it was no big deal. People weren't even paying attention. Everything was fine. I didn't die. My heart didn't explode. The building didn't collapse. Nothing major happened. I had all my clothes on. It was a good experience. And I was like, wow, I got all nervous over nothing. Now, getting nervous is okay, as long as it doesn't affect your performance. And I've taken a lot of classes about public speaking and different things, which I highly recommend as well. There's a lot of books out there, but speaking courses are good as well. And I highly recommend it. But the best way to do it is to actually get out there and do it. Tape yourself, record yourself. I recommend videotaping yourself because then you can see your body language. You can see how you're paying attention if your eyes are shut and what you're doing out there. It is a lot of fun. It's actually addictive when you start to speak in public. But it's a lot of fun. That's why when I go to paranormal conferences and conventions, I like to speak. And it also, when you get up there and you speak in front of a crowd, and this is another paranormal pull. I was laughing about this earlier. It does make you look like you know what you're talking about, make you look like an expert in your field. Yes, there's that, the E word, the expert word. Yeah, that's going to be a paranormal pull. Calm down. But the art of public speaking is, again, it's all about practice, practice, practice. And gosh, it's been like 2 months since he asked me this question about public speaking. I haven't heard from him in a couple of weeks. Hopefully he's listening, because I keep putting it off. Finally set aside a little bit of time here to talk about that today. I think he asked me like 20 questions all in all. I think I answered most of them here. But yeah, it's you really have to practice. And if you want to get on the terrestrial radio, which is it's kind of a dying thing. Of course, they've been saying it's dying for years, and it's still alive and well, I think. Practice and be persistent. If you're going to get hired, you got to be persistent. Once you learn how to work a board, it's not that hard. It's a dial. It's a couple switches. It's not that complicated. Turning your mic on and off is the hardest thing you got to do. Much easier to sit here at home and talk behind your mic during a show like this, the Paranormal News Insider, which is brought to you every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. Eastern, right here on WCJV Digital Broadcasting from Youngstown, New York. And oh, I lost my place. I had something else tonight, and I can't remember what it was. Don't always rely on your memory for everything. That's another important thing. Take notes and read notes, but don't be distracted by your notes. There's another thing there. And yeah, paranormal shows are kind of a dime a dozen, but the ones that interview people, they're a lot of fun to be on both ends. And I do enjoy the interviewing aspect. And I've had a few shows. I've been on a number of shows. I mentioned the Grand Dark Conspiracy. I was also a co-host, and I actually hosted a few times, interviewed Benjamin Radford and a few other people, interviewed Jody Cook and Nick Redfern and a few other people on Paranexus Universe. I was actually a co-host on that show for quite a while as well. So I do like those kind of things. Actually, I could bring that show back anytime I want, now that I think about it. But anyway, I do enjoy this. Just talking about the news, current events, and different things that are happening, especially paranormal conferences and conventions, which that was probably what I was going to talk about. But anyway, you can check out that list. Conferences, conventions, paranormal gatherings, UFO conferences, cryptozoology conferences, Dogman Symposium coming up August 6th, Defiance, Ohio. I'll be there. And if you have any information about any event and would like to hear it here, let me know at insider@paranewsinsider.com or click on the contact tab at the top of the website. Again, paranewsinsider.com. You can find the poll information on that front page, and you can find the events at the events tab. If you want to follow along with the news, there's also a news tab. All sorts of stuff there. Lots of information. That's what we're about here. I'm not just here on the Paranormal News Insider, but WCJV Radio. We're all about education, passing on knowledge, and doing what we can to help bring those fields along, because that's what it's all about, man. It's all about sharing knowledge and information. And speaking of that, tomorrow night, I'm going to be talking to a high school class about cryptozoology. Really excited about that, talking to young, sculptable minds. That's going to be a blast. I can't wait for that. That's tomorrow night. You're not invited. You're not invited. But I'll talk about that next week. Well, we'll see if I remember. Old age is catching up, I think. Anyway, big thanks to Cindy, my producer, and to everybody in the chat room tonight. As always, I really appreciate the support. It's great to click back there every now and again, even though I don't interact with you guys that much. I know. I'm sorry. I get distracted too easy. I start reading things and I start talking. It's either eyes or ear, or eyes or mouth with me. I can't do both. I don't know what's my problem, but I'll work on that. Trust me. Anybody who is listening to the archives, I highly appreciate it as well. And I know you're downloading it because I see it. And yeah, everyone else for tuning in, appreciate it. Thank you very much. Truly, thank you very much. Keep your eyes in the skies, your ears in the woods, the hair standing on the back of your neck, and always keep your mind slightly ajar. And above all else, don't stop believing. For the Paranormal News Insider, this is Dr. Brian D. Parsons reporting.